about you gotta put it in perspective.
We agreed to live here and suffer and be miserable in this godforsaken rat hole together. But that's a contract you and me made. You can't give up on that.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
It's Kevin here from the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Kevin here from the Kevin and Bean Show. Join me. Wow, this is something.
Nobody thinks radio is cool, but when you do it, it's amazing.
They see me brolin', they hatin'. No one's gonna catch Thanos riding dirty.
You know, it's awful, but people do tend to associate a thick neck with a low IQ.
And now, my issue is that we wake up to this monstrosity.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh.
Is that me or the mic?
Oh, it's, I think, this whole station, maybe.
Really? Bean, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you, but...
Do we sound all honked up?
Just kidding. That was yesterday.
It was good times, though.
It sure was.
Good times.
Kind of enjoyed hearing that again.
That was kind of fun. That's the beauty of working here. You just never know. Mm-hmm.
Did we ever establish what went wrong?
Here's what we established. Very firmly, we don't have any idea.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. We ran it up the chain. Is that what you do? You run it up the chain?
Yeah.
We asked a bunch of people. We asked their bosses. We asked their bosses. And they said, interesting. No idea.
Yep. Huh. Comforting.
So that happened.
All right, so I guess it could happen again. We got that to look forward to.
Today's Tuesday, the 15th of May.
Yeah, it is.
What's happening, everybody?
How's everybody feeling?
Pretty good.
You?
A little disturbed about this, and Allie, I'm sure you'll be covering it, and what's happening about this new controversy over the bride's father. I don't like it at all. I don't. It's really, you don't need this kind of drama this close to the big day.
What? Yeah. Oh, the royal...
Yes.
But this is bad.
This is bad.
His tux didn't come out right?
Oh, no.
Well,
no.
Last thing we heard is that he was being measured?
He was being measured for a tux.
Yeah.
And then we saw the photos of him in the internet cafe looking at pictures of his daughter's engagement. And that all seemed a little bit fishy to us.
Huh.
And now we know why. And it's very ugly and very unfortunate. I mean, the dude's already, Kevin, I don't know if you know this. The future princess's father is already living in Mexico to get out from under all of the tax liens he owes in the United States.
All right.
That's why he's in Mexico.
All right.
So brother wants to make a little bit of money and does not reflect well on the family. So
you know why? Royals? It's not good enough for them.
Well, not only that, anyone. If I was somebody famous and the guy I was marrying, his dad all of a sudden was taking pictures, paparazzi pictures to get paid. That's a little suspect.
Mm. It's kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
So again, and now who's going to walk Meghan Markle down the aisle? Is it going to be Prince Charles? Is it going to be Prince William? Is it going to be you, Kevin? We don't know.
I can guarantee it's not going to be me.
What if they invited you to walk?
Wouldn't go.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to EDC this weekend. I'm excited. I'm not interested in going to that wedding.
You have not seen, apparently, how hot Meghan Markle is.
I've seen pictures.
Apparently that has escaped you because that would not be your answer if that was a kid. Look, there's
Hold
always...
On. Do I have a shot at her now? Is that what you're saying? Because if that's the case...
It's a long walk.
But he said you've not seen how attractive she is. And I'm saying unless I have a shot with her...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Well, not with that attitude.
How hot she is.
I mean, you got to get in the door, man. Look.
I don't want to get in the door.
There's no woman you can't charm in that 30 feet walk.
Right?
Up to the aisle. Look, she's getting married to some other dude, but that may not last forever.
So you're saying my move is everyone's seated.
Mm-hmm.
The guys are in front of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And she starts walking down the aisle. Now the clock is on and I've got like 25, 30 seconds to make my move.
Yeah.
While she's in her wedding dress on her way up to the front?
I mean, it's not ideal.
Yeah.
But
are you a clutch player or not?
Right.
It's more of a shot than most
people
have,
Robert Ory this or... I don't know.
I mean, seriously.
Callback.
Thank you. It's pretty
The pressure's on, but then when Harry cheats on her 4 years down the road, she'll think back and she'll go, you know, the last good man I met was that American who walked me down the aisle.
The guy that was hitting on me at my wedding. That's what she's going to say. The last good man I met.
Yes, and then you're in, dude.
So wait, Dad's not going? Is that what we're saying?
Well, it's up in the air. Oh. Megan desperately wants him to be there, but he's faking it. He's faking a reason to not go, right, Allie?
Well, he said he had a heart attack. Yeah,
what is happening?
I mean,
nobody believes him.
Really?
I don't think so. I think that's just his graceful way of bowing out.
Yeah. Why don't you bow out with something that's a little less provable?
Like, sorry for being an embarrassment. I don't want to cause any more.
Sure, there's that. Yeah. Sure.
Ugh. Yeah.
Ugh. Right?
Well, Kevin, you don't see it yet.
Allie
and I are seeing the big picture.
Right.
Down the road, you being at this wedding Saturday is going to change your life down the road.
I don't feel like I'm going to be there Saturday, and I don't feel like it's going to change my life.
Okay,
plus, I need an invitation?
I mean, I don't usually. Boy, you're doing nothing but throwing up obstacles, man. I swear to God.
With my attitude, there's no way this is going to happen?
Yes, you're getting out of your car, and seriously, you're dragging boulders into the road ahead of you. All you have to do is drive in, dude. Just drive on in.
It's a great example.
You know when you stop the car and you drag boulders in front of you? You know when you do that? Everyone's done that.
Oh, God.
Look, I'm just looking out for you. So.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Anyway, all right. Well, we don't have time to do the thing.
Wouldn't it be funny if I did that and ended up walking up the aisle and somehow it worked and I was with her,
right?
And then somehow, I don't know, we're still part of the royal family and I'm living in the castle and Bean's like, hey, man, how's it going? I'm like, I don't know who you are.
New phone.
Who it is. Exactly. I wouldn't blame you, man. You would have upgraded.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
I'm not weird. You're weird. You guys are being so weird.
We are going to have another royal wedding update.
Yeah, we are.
All the important information is coming out, so that's always fun. Matt Bunny Smith will be on talking about the Dodgers start. Could we call it a start?
I don't know if they have yet, really.
I mean, technically they have played 5 weeks of baseball.
But define played.
Yeah, that's true. And how much can we bet on it?
Plus sports betting, yeah. Very excited about that. We also should talk to RJ Bell, by the way, about
gambling. Yeah, great idea.
We also have tickets for a Star Wars Story IMAX screening tickets that are advanced. We're going to give those to you today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got a brand new internet roundup. We've got the rudest Tinder profiles, which cracked me up, and tried to steal a car. So that's coming up this morning.
Wait, what?
We'll take a break. We'll come back.
The last part? What? After the Tinder thing.
I don't remember.
I think you tried to steal a car.
I didn't try to steal a car, technically, but I was in a car, somebody else's car.
Again.
I mean, maybe.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with what's happening next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Guys, Cal Jam 18 tickets on the show today. We're giving away.
Can't wait.
Giving away Black Panther on Blu-ray today. We got Solo, a Star Wars Story tickets. You can see them before the movie's in theaters. And more tickets to Knott's Berry Farm for Megan Holliday's live broadcast this Saturday from noon till 4. And early access to the park. Be one of the first to ride their new coaster called Hang Time. That's a lot of free stuff given away on the program
today.
Too
much, some would say.
So stick around for that. First, Allie's got the What's Happening Here on a Tuesday Morning. Take it away.
Well, good news for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans.
Yes, please.
It has been picked up for a sixth season.
Fantastic.
However, it will only be 13 episodes long. The first five seasons were 22 episodes long.
I feel like you don't see... How many TV shows do hour-long dramas that are 22 episodes? That does seem like a lot. Or is that the norm?
I think that's normal.
Really?
For
so this is half.
Kind of a hit show, yeah.
That's all right. It's better than going away.
Or right? It means that this is the end of the road, so let's wrap it up in 13.
Maybe.
It's averaging nearly 4 million total viewers. That's including the week and DVR views. So people have been waiting.
Still
now,
love that show.
You have 13 episodes.
All right.
So there. I feel really bad for Dave. I know that he has like 2, maybe 3 years of Scorpion to catch up on. And he just leaves it on in the background, right? Didn't he say that? I leave it on in the background when I'm doing stuff.
Sometimes he does that, and then there are other times when he just goes at the beginning of the show and then the end, so he can just catch up quickly. I don't know why.
Well, CBS has canceled Scorpion after 4 seasons, so congratulations, Dave.
Way to go.
You didn't watch when it was out. You waited years later. So congrats. It was averaging 5.1 million total viewers, but pretty low on the much sought after 25 to 54 year old age group. You watch old people shows, Dave.
You mean Mr. Blue Bloods watches old people shows?
Exactly.
Hey, is that going away too? Is Blue Bloods over?
I haven't heard about Blue Bloods.
Because no one knows
Dave
it's on.
Knows.
No yeah. way, dude. Renewed.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty big hit.
Okay.
For old people.
I'm just sad that Catherine McPhee is out of a job with the Scorpion going away. I'm sad
I assume
about that.
She'll find another.
Yeah, she's very talented.
She'll be fine. And great news for Kevin. Fox Sports says his best friend Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be announcing the announcing team for the 13 Thursday night football broadcast on Fox this coming season. The pair has been calling games together for 17 seasons. Can that be right?
Wow. That seems crazy.
That seems like a misprint. Maybe I should have looked it up.
Joe Buck, it's nothing personal, all right? I just happen to hate your stupid face.
You going to take that about your bestie?
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
I'd just like to go on record as saying I'm a big fan of Joe Buck, and I think he does a great job in the booth, whatever the sport.
I do, too.
Excellent. Wow, you guys, calm down. This is a double bill, I'll say. Jon Stewart and Dave Chappelle announced a co-headlining stand-up tour.
Awesome.
They're longtime friends, and they're only going to be playing 7 shows together. But if you want to go see them, 3 shows in Boston, 2 in Houston, 2 in El Paso. So hopefully,
not much of a tour.
It's not much of a tour. It's like a tourlet, right?
Are they going to add more?
I hope so.
Oh, this is it.
Isn't tourlet like how some people say toilet?
Yes.
So I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, it's going to be Stewart had signed with HBO last fall to produce his first stand-up specials in 21 years. And then Dave Chappelle continues to film his specials for Netflix as part of his lucrative deal. So who knows? Maybe they're joining together for Showtime. That would be weird, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Why only 7 shows?
I know. That sounds great.
Why Boston, right?
Right? What a waste.
Oh, one's on my birthday. If anyone wanted to get me tickets, I would surely go. Do you guys remember the movie Uptown Saturday Night?
I do not.
Yes. Yes, that was Bill Cosby.
It was Bill Cosby and Sidney Poitier.
That's right.
It was from 1974, and they were a couple friends, visited a nightclub, not realizing it was owned by members of the underworld. They got robbed for their wallets containing a winning lottery ticket, and that sets them off on a mission to get it back. Well, looks like we're going to get a remake, and Kevin Hart is in talks to star in
it. On The Rock? Aren't they in everything now?
Together?
Pretty much.
Yeah, maybe. I'd watch
do
it.
Do we need a redo of that movie?
A remake of a movie?
Do we need that?
I don't know. Okay. I never saw the first one.
Look, you've never heard of the movie, Kevin. Right. So if you saw a trailer of Kevin Hart looking funny in a thing, you'd say, oh, that looks pretty good.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Look at Kevin Hart looking funny in a thing.
In a thing, right?
I'm going to see that.
I'm going to see that thing.
Yeah. Some birthdays for you. Actor Chaz Palminteri. Actor David Krumholtz and actress Jamie Lynn Sigler. And that's what's happening.
Matt Money Smith's on the phone, you guys.
Matt Money Smith.
Hey, Money.
Bean, I'll take $50 right now.
And so it begins.
Yeah, the wager that never ends. I put 2 of Matt's kids through college with our baseball betting. In fact, speaking of baseball betting, we'll get to the legal baseball betting that is in our near future. But why don't we start with, are the Dodgers a team we want to put any money down on right now, Matt?
Well, this is again, part of the, I'm doing the air quotes here, soft part of the schedule for them. And it began back in late April when the Marlins came to town. And against those soft opponents, the Dodgers have managed to go 3-11.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And that's what you want with soft opponents, right?
I would say so. When those teams are a combined 44 games under .500, and you manage to go 3-11 against them, yeah. So it was a real rough stretch. But, you know, there is a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel here. Is both Justin Turner and Logan Forsythe are on the plane. You're starting second and third baseman. Justin hasn't played all season. Logan played barely, and he was hurt when he was playing, so he did not play well. So if those two guys are right, I mean, you're talking about getting 50% of your infield back.
Money. One of the things that drives me crazy is
baseball.
Is the speed at which baseball moves. No, is it people that say, oh, playoffs started today? Because they don't, and you're usually nowhere near the playoffs when that happens. Where are the Dodgers in that cycle?
I mean,
they got a lot of time, right?
It's, you know what, as I'm staring at Eric Karros right in front of me, yet I'm the one talking to you guys about Dodgers.
What?
He was on with us yesterday. And he put
and he slept over?
He did. It was great. And we're wearing the same thing here. It's great.
That's sweet.
He said it's not panic, but it's anxious. He said when you're a player and it starts this bad, you know you still have 120 games to go. But you're actually starting to ask yourself, okay, what the hell's going on? Why am I not hitting? Or if you're in the bullpen, what the heck is going on with me mechanically that I'm giving up these runs that I haven't been, you know, through my career, and how do I fix it? So I guess, you know, to use a golf term, you're pressing. You know, you're pressing. That swing gets a little quick, and you want to get out of that tee box and off that ball as quick as you can, and that's how your mechanics get all sideways. And I think that's probably what they have to be careful
of. Did you say there's still 120 games left?
Well, technically 122. But
okay. All right. Let's stop having this conversation then.
So, yeah, 7.5 games is certainly easy to make up, but a season can get away from you, man, especially when you've got a team like Arizona that's so good this year. You know,
except they've lost 5 in a row now. So,
doesn't look like that in the standings, though, does it?
No. But, you know, you think if that would have just gone 50-50 instead of being 8 back or 7.5 back, you're talking about 11 or 12 back.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Back. All right. Let me ask you one more Dodgers question, then we want to move on to the big news from the Supreme Court yesterday, Matt, because you're the guy we go to for all our Supreme Court updates.
Right.
That is Dave Roberts is fine, though. I mean, he's been this is his third year as manager. He went to the playoffs the first two, including the World Series last year. He's in no danger. As disappointed as he is, no one's really looking at him as the culprit here, right?
Well, it's interesting just because, you know, next year will be the last year of his deal. So that'll be year four. And the fact that they had not, you know, banged out an extension this offseason after going to the World Series, I would say it's curious. Maybe
he's
the right
cute.
Word to use.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
But he's so cute,
Matt.
You know what? I'm going to get that to the Dodgers right now.
All right. Did not Thank you. That. They probably didn't. That should at least be a clause.
What? You're right, Alex. I'm going to just kind of pop that over their way. Say, hey, guys, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Doc, so cute. So let's get that
but
sorted
for,
out.
For what it's worth, the players love him, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the thing about Dave is, A, he played. B, he was a grinder. You know, he wasn't one of your superstars that can't quite relate like Don Mattingly maybe a little bit just because, you know, Mattingly, when he was their manager, I mean, talking about a guy that was the best player in baseball probably for 2 to 4 years of his career. And sometimes that's tough. But when you're Dave Roberts and you're a guy that, you know, had to fight and claw just to hang on, I think players respect that. And he respects, you know, guys, to use the cliche, 1 through 25 out there. And how important each one of them is to winning. So certainly, I would be very, very surprised if he wasn't back next year and an extension wasn't announced at some point, probably in the next 2 months.
All right.
This slide probably isn't helping that.
Probably not. Probably not. So maybe we'll go back to that, but he's so cute line.
Okay.
There you go.
Let's talk Supreme Court. I know you spent a lot of time on your show with Petros yesterday about it. What early conclusions can we make about how this is going to change the world?
It's going to change it dramatically. It is going to change it dramatically just because there is so much money to be made. When you see all of the money being brought in by DraftKings and FanDuel, you're going to see leagues embrace them in the park probably. You'll see a lot of that. Now, granted, you have legislation. And remember a couple of years ago there was legislation introduced at the California State Assembly. And that's what's going to be interesting for us because this is now put back into the hands of the state. Is how do the Indian casinos work this out with card clubs, with off-track betting-style houses in terms of actual places that would have a sport book? You know, we're used to thinking of when we go to Vegas, there's 9,000 TVs. You see all the odds on the board.
Right.
I think more of what this is going to look like is your smartphone, is you're going to have apps and companies that are based in California that when you're sitting at the Dodger game, you can bet an inning. You can bet on a hitter. You can bet.
That's going to be so easy to lose all your money.
Exactly. And that's going to be the scary part. But you know what? My guess would be the professional leagues, you know, they want in on it, right? They're going to charge a flat fee probably for each of these services per bet or however they're going to do it if they want to have it in their stadium or during their broadcast. So there's just so much money to be made out there.
Each team, though, is saying, hey, we have to be real careful about, you know, protecting the game. Each team is coming out really hard on that point.
Certainly. And I think that is a bit of a fear, you know, if, you know, you don't, because it is going to be so accessible now and there's going to be so many different ways to make money. you do have to protect from that. But I think today players make so much more than they used to. You know, the amateur athletics is where you got to be careful, you know, where guys aren't making $25 million dollars a year.
And I wanted to ask you about that, Matt. Yeah. College sports and amateur sports are excluded from this?
I don't think so, no.
No,
I don't think so.
I think it's all good.
This was just a regulation. This was just 10th Amendment states' rights versus federal law.
Okay.
All the way down to middle school, Bean.
Exactly right.
I'm putting all my money on tetherball.
Here we come.
How soon will we see the legal ability in the state of California to bet on the Dodgers or the Chargers or whoever?
Yeah, it'll take a little while. You'll see the legislation introduced probably by the end of the year, but there's a couple states that are ahead, you know, that had already had legislation moving. Obviously, this was the case that was based in New Jersey, so they're ready to go. I mean, they might be going by the end of the NBA Finals. They could probably have some stuff rolling. But
plus, California doesn't need the money, so we got that going
for us. That's a great point. Yeah, we don't. Exactly. So, yeah, my guess is we'll probably see legislation by the end of the year, and then maybe by the time – I don't know, maybe the 2019 football season rolls around.
Wow, that's so slow.
It's too slow for Kevin, I'll tell you that.
Right,
Kevin, you're going to Las Vegas this weekend.
I am,
think you can scratch that edge. Matt Money Smith does a fantastic job as the co-host of the Petros Money Radio Show weekday afternoons at AM 570. He's also the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers and fantasy analyst for NFL Network. Always a pleasure to get your perspective, Matt. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You got it. Thanks, Kev. Thanks, Ali. Great to hear your voice, Bean. I want my goddamn money.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Now, we mentioned we were going to try again with the Star Wars impressions. We did not have great success on yesterday's Kevin and Bean Show, asking you to call and do any Star Wars character from any Star Wars movie. As an example, I think this listener was trying to do Chewbacca.
So that happened.
Wow.
So I think you can do better. Any character from any movie right now, you're playing for advance tickets to the K-Rock IMAX screening of Lucasfilm Solo, A Star Wars Story at the Edwards Irvine Spectrum on May 22nd. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you right after Ali's What's Happening This Tuesday Morning.
So if you're on a big show, say Survivor,
yes,
you sign a pretty serious NDA.
Right.
You can't talk about even being on it. When you come back, you have to make sure you're not in pictures with other people, that type of thing. Apparently, their NDAs have a $5 million penalty.
Holy crap.
It's pretty big, right? So you're not going to...
Well, it makes sense. I mean, you ruin the entire season if somebody comes out 2 weeks in and tells everybody who wins.
Well, we don't know who won. However, we now know two of the contestants who flagrantly broke their confidentiality agreements this week by posting a photo together when they were specifically asked not to. They just wrapped on Wednesday of last week for season 37. And upon arriving back home, they were all emailed a reminder. Don't spoil anything. No social media activity. Don't even follow other contestants on Instagram, on Twitter.
Wow, that's serious.
And obviously don't pose together. Well, turns out a guy named Alec Merlino and a girl named Kara Kay did just that on Sunday, captioning their picture with the not-so-subtle F it, which fueled rumors that not only are they on the show, and turns out they were, and they hit it off in Fiji, and they just couldn't stay away from each other. What idiots!
Yeah.
Wow.
What is wrong with you? Ugh, TMZ has the story. If you want to check out two of these most smug D-bags you've ever seen, that would be Alec and Kara.
This is just like, you know, at the end of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, where they have to, the couples that is together, they cannot be seen in public because you don't want to reveal how the season ends.
Right. It's in $5 million. What are you even thinking?
That's ridiculous.
Not worth it.
Ugh. No. Apparently they're boning, right?
No question.
Sure.
It's good stuff. Also good stuff if you listen to SiriusXM, because they announced today that U2 will take a one-night detour from their Experience and Innocence tour to perform for the first time at Harlem's Apollo Theater. It's an invite-only concert exclusively for SiriusXM subscribers, taking place on June 11th. It's the first time since their 2000 Irving Plaza show that U2 will play such an intimate full concert in New York. You know what I say to that?
What?
I mean, we had them play at the Roxy, so. Or K-Rock. I mean, that was pretty cool, right? Who's with me?
It was pretty cool.
It was so cool. That was probably one of the highlights of my life, seeing that band in such a small, intimate venue.
Do you remember afterwards when we interviewed them?
I remember when you guys did, and I couldn't go back. Yeah.
That's even funnier than I remember.
Definitely remember crying on the way home.
We said, Bonner, do you like playing places like this? And he goes, no. No, we like big places. We're not a big fan of playing small places.
Well, I mean, they're playing tonight at the Forum.
Correct.
And tomorrow night at the Forum.
Right.
So if you want to go check out U2, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, they're great live.
I didn't cry at all during the Joshua Tree tour.
Allie cries at everything.
I cried all. Not at all, but all. Hey, when we come back, we really need to talk about this John Cena, Nikki Bella thing.
It's really got you upset.
I feel personally victimized by these two. And I think that they're all playing us for a fool. I believed that both of them were heartbroken, and now I'm turning a tide. I think.
Oh, goodness, this story is all sorts of wrong.
I think it's a work. I think it's a big old work.
What, you think something in the WWE is false?
All right, when you put it like that, good point.
Okay.
Some birthdays for you, Jamie Lynn Sigler, David Krumholtz, and Chez Palminteri. That's what's happening.
We have a K-Rock Advanced IMAX screening of Lucasfilm's Solo, A Star Wars Story at the Edwards Irvine Spectrum May 22nd. We're getting away some tickets now.
Wait, hold on a sec. May 22nd?
Yeah, that's...
The rest of us losers don't get to see the movie till the 25th.
Right, this is an advanced screening.
Wow, way better. So you get to meet Chewbacca along with Han Solo. You get to meet Lando Calrissian as Han Solo does. It's the origin story, and it looks so great. And we're looking for your Star Wars impressions right now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's just hope it goes better than it did yesterday. Hit it, Steve.
Star Wars impressions, Star Wars impressions, Star Wars impressions. A good impression you must have. To win tickets to Solo, A Star Wars Story.
See, now Omar gets tickets for his Yoda. Dave does not for his Chewbacca.
Correct.
That's how that one would come out. All right, so what do we have? Just a one pair of tickets here?
Yes, we did this yesterday, and this is...
Take two.
All right, so you do your best impression, and then we'll pick the best one. If we all three agree on one, they get the tickets. If not, everybody goes into a drawing, so you hold on.
All right.
Let's start with Robert in Tustin. Good morning, Robert.
Morning, guys.
Thank you so much for listening and for calling. What Star Wars character are you going to grace us with your impression?
I'm going to do Emperor Palpatine.
Oh, you're a bad man.
All right.
Let's hear it.
All right. Kevin and Bean, you and your pitiful little band of radio personalities are no match for the dark side of the Force. Now witness the power of this fully armed and operational battle station.
Someone is moving in on my Hulk Hogan, it sounds like.
Wow. I didn't hate that. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Star Wars impressions.
All right. Let's try line two, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Rivera.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. What are you going to do for us today?
All right. I'm going to do Admiral Akbar.
Okay. I wonder what you're going to say.
Fantastic.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Engage on defenses.
Okay.
You brought it to life. All Thank right. you very much. Appreciate that. All right. Hang on.
All right. Let's go to Anthony, who's going to try. What are you going to try, Anthony?
I'm going to try Chewbacca.
All right.
I have PTSD from yesterday's Chewbacca, so let's see how you do.
I hope I don't do the point.
All right. Go ahead.
All right.
Star Wars impressions.
All right. Okay, that happened.
Thank you, Anthony.
Let's go to Megan in Whittier. Hi, Megan.
Hey, guys.
What Star Wars impression are you going to do for us?
Princess Leia.
Ooh. All right. I'm intrigued.
All right.
Go?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
She's from the South?
I mean, you did say some of the same words that she said in the movie.
Star Wars impressions.
news.
All right. I don't know. I mean, okay. I don't want to tip my hand on who my favorite is so far. We'll take a few more calls. Why don't we try Ray Mission Viejo up next, line 5 on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Morning, Ray.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What are you going to do?
Yoda.
All right, Yoda. Here's Ray.
Oh, Bean, I bet you have a Han Solo story of your own. Hmm? Oh, Ali, would you like to ride my Rancor? Hmm?
Star Wars impressions.
So, Dirty Yoda is what we're dealing with here.
I like Dirty Yoda.
All right, let's try Kevin in Whittier. He's on line 8, if we could. This is an impression we have not heard yet before.
All Kevins are shaky, first of
Hello,
all.
Guys.
True.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you. What are you going to do for us?
I'm going to do Darth Sidious or Palpatine, whoever you know him as by. So,
okay.
Once more, the Kevins will rule the galaxy. And we shall have peace.
You fall asleep?
Star Wars impressions.
Darth Sidious did not sound fired up about his plan at all.
He's a little sleepy.
All right. One more or cut our losses?
Let's do one more. I can do this all day. I love it. Let's go to Leo in Pasadena. Hi, Leo.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are good. Thank you. What are you going to do for us?
I'm going to also do the Emperor, but hopefully I do it well.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. It's for Robot Chicken, though, so it's not really any.
So this is the Emperor, but from Robot Chicken Star Wars special.
Right, right.
Okay. All right.
Very specific.
Something, Death Star. Something, Darth Vader.
Okay. All right.
Sorry to disappoint you guys.
Oh, no, it was great. It was really
no. We appreciate it very much.
Fantastic. Right. Hold on for a second. That was terrible, right?
You know, I have.
I thought that
Star Wars impression.
I thought that Robert and Tustin was not good until I heard what followed Robert and Tustin. He was our first caller. You recall?
Yes.
In Emperor Palpatine. It felt like you guys liked him a little more than I did. Is he your favorite?
Honestly, I would say I don't have a favorite.
Allie?
I don't have a favorite.
Mm. All right. It's drawing time then. Yeah. Who's going to win the tickets to see the movie on the 22nd? It opens up everywhere on the 25th. Solo, a Star Wars story. Is it going to be Robert or Dan, Anthony or Megan, Ray or Leah, or probably not Kevin?
Crap.
Miss Allie McKay?
She just said crap.
Freaking Kevin.
It's Kevin.
Oh!
Kevin, you won.
Oh, I won?
Yes, sweet. You won. Congratulations. It hurts our hearts that you won. But congratulations and enjoy the movie.
Star Wars impressions.
Take two.
And now, a moment with Allie.
But also, you guys are posting videos like, oh, we're rehearsing for the weenie roast. And we're like, goddamn weenie roast. Mm-hmm. You guys are Blink 182. What are you doing? Like, but then it occurred to us, oh, I guess bands really rehearse for different festivals and different situations, which we just thought, okay, you do the same old thing every time.
That was a moment with Allie.
Well said.
I love it.
Was anyone from the band still there when the question ended?
I think they're still there.
They were there and they were transfixed. They were just like watching their mouth going, we can't, what's, how is this going to end?
Hey, lot coming up on the Kevin DeBean Show, including some Knott's Berry Farm tickets, including Cal Jam tickets. There's a 40-60 chance Meta World Peace is stopping by today.
Here's the truth on that one. He's been to some places that he's supposed to be, mm-hmm. and he hasn't been to others.
Right.
And so we're going to know if he shows up, if and when he shows up.
Right. Okay.
He says he told his people he's in.
Right. But he also told his people that he thought it was 8 p.m.
I know. It's very confusing.
Okay.
So whether that happens or not, I'm not sure. But that is all straight ahead here on the Kevin DeBean Show at K-Rock. First, though, Kevin, how did you come across this this story about this this crazy love triangle?
I was just surfing the web for interesting stories, and I saw the headline, which is that a 19-year-old girl is now having sex with her ex-boyfriend's father. Now, we've done this topic before, and we always have the same conversation when we bring up a phone topic. Is this something we'll get no calls on?
Mm-hmm.
I bet we will.
I bet we will, too. I mean, look, she was posting in a Reddit group, in the Ask Me Anything Reddit group, about this sort of topic. It's a not safe for work topic. And she told the story with enough detail that it sounds realistic to me. She said she had a boyfriend of appropriate age and that they separated as they moved away to different colleges, or he moved away to a different college anyway. And then a couple of months later, she ran into his dad at a grocery store. And of course, they knew each other from the time that she had been dating his son.
Well, it's a little more than that.
Yeah. And they struck up a conversation.
It's a little more than that, in that while they were dating, he was going to have a barbecue. They were swimming. He said he was going to go get some food. They ran in to have sex. He came home early.
Right.
Said he forgot his wallet, walked in on him having sex.
Right.
Then when they saw in the grocery store, she made some type of joke about she sort of, part of her wishes he had stayed.
Yeah.
And
he's like, me too.
Yes, he did. He was very excited about that. And then they started having sex and blah, blah, blah. And who knows exactly how this happened, but not in the story that I'm reading, but there's an update on it where they're getting married.
Oh,
with ex-boyfriend's
approval.
Really? Yes, with his blessing. Yes.
Huh.
Now, is it possible that we've had anybody who has been dating a guy or a girl and then ended up with that guy or girl's mom or dad?
I mean, I'm sure it happens. I wouldn't count on a person in that situation listening right now, but I bet we have plenty who have ended up dating the parent of a boyfriend or girlfriend or a husband or wife. I bet we have that.
It seems like, because she was 19, he was 56.
Yeah.
So maybe if the parent was younger, maybe if the parent had the kid like when he was, you know, 12, then he would sort of not be quite so distant in age.
Or if the parent had the kid at 18 and is now 38, that's more reasonable is what you're saying. 56 seems a little, I don't know either.
19 and 56 seems extreme, but.
Yeah.
It does. So,
by the way, this girl also said when she was doing the AMA on Reddit, she also said that the ex-boyfriend had no idea. And that she hadn't told anybody, and she was pretty sure the father hadn't told anybody either. And I got news for you. The father was telling everyone. I mean, seriously. He's nailing a 19-year-old. He's not telling anyone.
So she says it's the father is a widow, by the way.
Yes.
And she says that he's better in bed than the son was.
Sure.
And that it is a real relationship. It is not a sugar daddy situation. He gets her very modest gifts, occasionally takes her out for dinner, but they do like to get together on a regular basis and have sex. And she seems very happy with it. So I don't know. I mean, it sounds very believable, but it would sound more believable if it were coming from a Kevin and Bean listener. So that's what we're going to ask for right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you were any part of this scenario, any part of this family, where somebody ended up getting together with the mom or dad of the boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife.
Or you're the boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife, and your girlfriend or boyfriend got with your parent. Imagine.
Yeah. Anywhere in the family.
Imagine how crazy that would be.
We are looking for you to tell your story. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call or text. Give us a call or text us, and we'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
All right. We're looking for people who have a relationship that's effed up. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Do you think we are more likely to find a young man who ended up dating his girlfriend's mom or a young woman who ended up dating her boyfriend's father?
I would say woman. Because I think women are more mature, so it's an easier leap to start dating a 56-year-old.
Or if you're an older woman and all you want is a boy toy, why not? Right?
Right. Right. All right. We're looking for you. 1-800-520-1067. I know you're out there. Hopefully we'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
Woman who dumped her boyfriend then he had a daughter with his father reveals they are now getting married with jilted lover's blessing. A woman who dumped her then lover for his father before having his daughter is now getting married with her jilted lover's blessing.
Right, you just said that. Hey, that's annoying, right? When you go to YouTube and you click on the first four stories and they're that.
I think we're very close to the robots taking over doing the news. Dear Kevin and Bean, this is from the 402 area code. Where the heck is that? You're looking for people who have dated the parents, etc. One of my very close friends ended up dating her ex's father after her ex cheated on her. It was wild. It didn't last very long, only 3 or 4 months, but we still roast her for it. Look. The vagina wants what the vagina wants, right?
Oh, God.
How many times have I said that?
One too many
is correct.
That listener was, the 402 is in Nebraska, it turns out, by the way. So thank you for listening. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to call. Why don't we start with, what do you think, Jake and Orange, maybe?
Sure.
Let's try Jake and Orange, line two, please.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
This is kind of a weird topic today, but we hoped we might find somebody who has dated a person and that person's parent. Is that you?
Yeah, definitely. I lived in New Orleans for about 10 years.
Right.
And I worked at a place for about 5 years, and we would get off about 4 a.m., go to the bar across the street that my friends owned and have a good time. And usually the strippers would come and be about there that time.
Hey,
and I
Jake.
Was a nice guy, and they'd
hey,
end up.
Hey, Jake.
I'd end up hooking with some.
Hey, Jake.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get off at 10.
I'm just trying to figure out why he ever moved away from that job and that life.
You're gonna have to speed it up a little, please.
Okay. So I hooked up with one girl. She was close to my age. I'm 40, so she was a little bit older than me.
Okay.
And I hooked up with this stripper about that age, and about a few weeks later, nice young girl at the bar, stripper.
Look, I'm just telling you right
now.
I'm telling you right now, Jake doesn't have the game to get two different women.
What were you drinking?
Hurricane?
Any type of whiskey they would give me.
All right.
I think this story, if it can cut ahead, the story's going to end up that the woman that was his age turned out to be the mom of the stripper that he later picked up.
And okay.
So he did the mom first and then the daughter? Is that what it sounds like?
Yes, it sounded
okay,
that way.
It's a little different than what we were
We didn't have time to figure out the end of it, but I think that's a pretty good guess.
Right. Let's go to Phoenix. What the hell's happening today? Joe is on line one, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Joe, I'm sorry you had to listen to that last caller, but let's see if we can turn things around with you.
I was laughing. That was actually pretty funny.
All right, but hold on. That last caller did not have the game get a mom and a daughter, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you my story. Okay.
Okay.
So, I was about 20-something. I was living at in the Valley. I actually came from Northridge. I lived in Northridge. And I started dating this woman, for my language.
Yep.
But she was smoking hot. We went out a few times. We got together. You know, we had kind of this relationship. And then one time we went to some kind of family gathering, some birthday or something, and I met her daughter, and then I started hooking up with the daughter. And
started with the mom, ended with the daughter.
And with the daughter, I was a jerk. I was a complete a-hole.
Okay.
Basically, the long story short of it, the mother found out, and of course, that was it.
That was the part of the story that I sort of didn't believe from the original kickoff story, is that the girl really thought the ex and the parent didn't tell anyone and no one knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you see, when you're young and stupid, you kind of think you can get away with anything, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So once it was in the open, you're saying that the mom and the daughter, neither one of them wanted to have anything to do with you after that.
Yeah, because eventually, yes, exactly. They did not want to have anything to do, because I think friends and family and stuff started noticing, oh, wait a minute, he's with the daughter, he's with the mother, really? And that was weird.
Yeah, it does make holidays awkward, for sure.
Who is better? Who is better, mom or daughter?
Oh, my God. Actually, the mother was.
Mother, all right.
Yeah. I really felt like an idiot because, you know, the mother was really smoking hot.
Okay.
The daughter was, not experienced.
So you went from hot to not?
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you listening there in Phoenix.
Plus, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
All right, let's try one more. Let's make it Brittany Long Beach, line three, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Brittany, thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hi there.
So I dated a guy that worked with a mother and daughter in the same office.
Dated a guy?
And he would kind of simultaneously flirt with both, and he ended up hooking up with the daughter first.
Okay.
And then after a while, he went out for drinks with the mom one night, got drunk, and woke up in the morning, the mother and daughter lived together. So he woke up in the morning to have breakfast, and the daughter came out and saw him and
basically scowled at him, but she continued to talk to him. So.
What?
Yep.
Wow. What's happening? It's not possible.
Penis.
It's not possible if a girl comes out and sees you're there and you just had sex with her mom and she's cool with it?
Yep.
You have her number? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
I thought it was too good to be true last year when Dave Grohl announced that he was going to be curating his own rock festival and that the Foo Fighters were going to headline it. I thought, well, that's an amazing idea.
Went last year. Queens was great. Foos was great. It was such a great show.
Oh, it's one of the best festivals in the whole country all of last year. And believe it or not, Cal Jam is back with round two. Cal Jam 18 just announced yesterday on Cat Corbett's show at the Glen Helen Regional Park, October 6th. Iggy Pop is going to be there. Greta Van Fleet, Garbage, Tenacious D, Silver Sun Pickups, Billy Idol. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Foo Fighters?
Well, yeah. Foo Fighters are headlining again, right? It's an amazing festival. Tickets are going on sale this Thursday morning at 10 a.m. at caljamfest.com. But I understand we have a pair to give away next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We do an 8 o'clock hour. When you hear a Foo Fighters song, any Foo Fighters song, be caller 20, and you'll win those tickets, 1-800-520-1067. Not now, but when you hear a Foo Fighters song in the 8 o'clock hour.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Boy, that's going to be fun.
It's good time.
All right. 7:53, Tuesday morning. Allie, what's happening?
Well, the Beastie Boys just tweeted, and they said, I'm not sure if you remember, but a while ago, we said we were going to write a book about our band. Well, it's almost done, and it's coming out soon. This is what it's going to look like. Kind of nice, right? And then a picture of the book, which looks thick. It looks like a big old book. So I am excited for that. And the release says, a panoramic experience that tells the story of the Beastie Boys. A book as unique as the band itself by band members Ad Rock and Mike D, with contributions from Amy Poehler, Spike Jonze, Wes Anderson, and more. So you can pre-order it now, but the book doesn't come out until October 30th. But for more info, you can go to BeastieBoysBook.com.
Does it end with,
see you around?
See you around.
Oh, I bet it does.
I think we need him back on to tell us about
I was just going to ask, what do we do knowing that they sabotage interviews?
Yeah.
On
no
purpose.
No pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Right. No pun intended. That they literally will just stall and not give answers.
You
talk to them anyway, right?
100%. What are you talking about?
But I mean, we tried that last time. It was terrible.
It was the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
You just loved.
See you around.
Well, I also loved when he said he wanted to be in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But all he would do would be walk up and say, I brought bagels. And I thought, this is the weirdest interview I've ever heard.
So we'd say yes, I guess.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Hey, you like Michael Jordan?
Yes, please.
How about ESPN Films and Netflix just announced a joint production called The Last Dance? It's going to be a 10-part documentary series. It's going to chronicle one of the greatest icons and most successful dynasty in sports history, Michael Jordan, and the 1990 Chicago Bulls.
I would love that.
They are going to go through about 500 hours of never-before-seen footage from the team's last championship run in the 97-98 season. It has the full participation of Jordan and other key figures from the Bulls championship teams. It's going to be amazing.
Can't wait.
And in case that wasn't enough, it's directed by the same guy that did Andre the Giant, the Fab Five, and the 85 Bears.
Okay.
Pretty good track record there, Jason.
Michael Jordan's been watching some basketball and seeing an awful lot of talk about somebody else being the greatest of all time. And he's like, hey, I did stuff.
I'd like to remind people what I did.
Me and a flu in Utah.
Right.
That's just what he's saying at his TV. I bet. The series is slated to premiere in 2019, but man.
That sounds great.
500 hours of never-before-seen footage. I'm in.
Same.
Yeah, that looks real good. I know you don't want it, but I think maybe this is something you'd be interested in. Souvenirs for the royal wedding.
Here we go.
You can get a tea towel, you can get a mug, you can get whatever. How about this? I think you're going to like it. A souvenir condom.
I'm sorry?
A souvenir condom for the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
A souvenir condom?
It's from the Crown Jewels Company. And apparently the entire stock is almost sold out, just under $14 per pack, or three packs for around $27. Here's the thing. It's a novelty product.
Right.
Not intended for use as a contraceptive. But here's why you should totally get it. They come in a blue souvenir case with a smiling photo of the happy couple on the front. When the pack is opened, a musical arrangement of God Save the Queen and the Star Spangled Banner is played. Yes!
That's pretty awesome.
But the best part, it also claims on it, quote, your prince will come.
Okay.
All right, then.
So, all right. See, because it is a double.
Right.
And it plays the music.
Right.
And it's the.
Mm-hmm. Let us know how that is.
I mean, help! What?
What was that?
Did you mean to press that?
I did.
What was
okay.
it?
That was the, you know, the little.
Help! The little girl saying poop?
Help! She says help!
Help! Oh.
Yeah, she's trying to get us out of this conversation.
Oh. I'm just saying, that's a great little tagline.
That is
right?
pretty good, yeah.
Because
right, we get it.
It's birthdays for you. Chaz Palminteri, David Krumholtz, and Jamie Lynn Sigler. And that's what's happening.
Meta World Peace is right? in our studios.
How about that?
Good to be here. Good to be back.
The last time you were here was 2010?
Yeah, 2010, June.
That's right.
16th.
After the Lakers won the championship.
Yeah.
They won it the night before, and we said we'd like to have Meta in. And you stayed up all night and came in your uniform.
I know. It was too much fun. You only get one moment to, you know. I mean, maybe I'd do things different, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, the uniform works. You don't want to go to bed that night and have it be over. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you just want to let it ride. I mean, that was, I got to tell you, and we talk about it all the time, Meta, that was one of our favorite moments in the history of doing this show. Because we were so excited, obviously, that the Lakers just won the championship, but then to have you in and see how happy you were and how relieved you were to have finally done it. It was amazing. Where would you rank that in the top 5 days of your life, that winning that championship in 2010?
It was definitely like top 10. You know, you got the children. I got 4 kids, and you got your marriage, and you got, you know, there's so many things that's ahead of that, but that was definitely in my top 10.
Let's talk professionally, for sure, yeah.
Professionally, that's probably number one. Defensive player of the year was cool.
Sure.
All-Star was cool. Making it to the NBA was actually cool.
Getting drafted by the Bulls.
Getting drafted by
right?
the NBA, right?
Is your favorite team?
Yeah.
Let's talk about when you were a kid. You came from Queensbridge.
Yes.
And one of 10 kids.
Yes.
And it just seemed, reading through your book, it just seems like, how is it possible for you to have avoided jail all those years, or death, all those years coming from that area? Because a lot of people you knew... That's what happened.
Yeah, it's so crazy. A lot of the really good ball players in my neighborhood, you know, a lot of them was, one was shot, Kenny Ito, right before he was getting a scholarship to college. He was at Oak Hill Academy with Lloyd Daniels and Rod Strickland. And they was like, you know, the big three. And then a guy named Lloyd Newman passed away. I was like 13. He was maybe 17. He passed away on the basketball court, got murdered on the court.
Holy crap.
And then one of my really good friends, Mike Chatfield, I put his name in my head on Christmas in 2009, playing against the Cavaliers. And he got shot in a drug transaction, went into the hospital, and he said the nurses wasn't moving fast enough, and he said he will just he'll help himself and left the hospital. He was a tough kid. He was just so tough. I remember him being so tough, and I think he died exactly how he wanted to die.
How do you avoid all of those missteps, and how do you dream as big as making it to the NBA?
Well, you,
did you at that time? Did you think you would make it to the NBA?
I mean, I knew I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to.
You know what I'm saying?
But I didn't.
You know, I knew I wanted to, but I was still like, you never know what day you go out your house and then anything could happen.
Right.
You know, you had some fun days. You know, you play hopscotch and double dutch and tag. You had those days. You know, and then the firemen would come and they would open up the Johnny Pump and let you just waste America's water. We had a lot of days like that, you know. And then you had some days where it was just like, you know, you just don't want to go out the house today, or But yeah, you got used to it, man. You know, you got used to it.
It doesn't seem like you spent very much time dealing drugs. Did you? You started a couple times. But got into trouble and hated it.
I didn't. It wasn't for me, man. It wasn't for me. You know.
How do you make that decision that it's not for you? It felt like you could rap, sell drugs,
and make money.
It was crazy.
That's the only way to get out of where you were, right?
It seems like that. You can go the education route, but the problem is, like, when you become hungry and you want to eat, that's the problem.
Sure, right.
You start to make crazy decisions when you get hungry, and then maybe the first 15th, you get the government check, but then, like, you know, midway through, it's like, okay, you know, you got to find something to eat. And that's where we made most of our craziest decisions. We did something.
When you're hungry, of course,
you just gotta do anything.
Meta, who were the adults in your life that were the guiding light that tried to at least steer you in the right direction?
Well, I grew up with my mom and dad up until the age of 13. That's when they both separated, and that was really good times. It was a real stable household. Besides the arguments and all that stuff, the fighting, but it was like
okay, right.
But it was like cool having a mother and a father.
Of course,
you know what I'm saying. And then they broke up, and then my dad lost his job because he was doing too much overtime, and the overtime wasn't...
It wasn't sanctioned?
It wasn't his overtime. It was using other people's overtime.
Okay.
And then he lost a city job and can never work for the city again.
Wow.
But there was times he would come home, you know, with a check and stuff, and we would be able to eat, but he lost a long-term job, which hurt us a lot. You know, and then I remember just having to go outside and play basketball for money. I would just go outside and just figure out a way to make some money. Then people would help. Then I had some cool sponsors along the way, so I got really lucky.
I'll tell you, one of the things that's the most impressive about you is that you always say, this was a terrible thing or this happened that was horrible, but other people have it worse.
Oh, they do.
You seem to always put it in that perspective, which is a unique perspective to have.
It's true.
It's, you know, true, but it's most true. People don't see it that way.
Well, you think about it, like, I look at my demographic, right? Urban black community, right? That's how I grew up in a black and then Latino community, and it was just us and Dominicans and Puerto Ricans, right? So, you know, and so everybody had it hard, but that's all you see. And then when you get out, you know, you go to other countries or even other parts of America. You know, even like the South, you know, people who think white people all got it good, like a lot of white people struggling in the South,
right.
Problem language. a lot of people struggling in the South, you know, so then you look at just the situation, you look at some trailer park homes and you look at Compton, people just struggling.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, I didn't have it as bad as those places. Queensbridge was like dangerous, but if you look at our place and you see in New York City, they're building around my neighborhood, like amazing. The real estate's gone up 5 times, probably.
But I think that kind of thing comes with hindsight with most people.
Right.
I could have it worse.
Right,
you
right,
seem
right.
to have sort of had that from the beginning.
Yeah, because we grew up in a really nice neighborhood. Brick buildings. You know, you're protected. You're warm. You know, grass. You know, some grass places. A park. 4 or 5 basketball courts. A big park, you know, right on the river. So you really had a really good life. And it's no different from anybody else that lived there now in a $1 million house, but it was just that inside our community with just so much drugs, so much guns.
Right,
you know?
Of course.
It was just crazy inside.
This is the voice of Meta World Peace here on the Kevin Devine Show, by the way. The book we're talking about is just out, available today everywhere books are sold, called No Malice, My Life in Basketball, or How a Kid from Queensbridge Survived the Streets, the Brawls, and Himself to Become an NBA Champion. Hey, we're going to take a quick break in a sec, but I want to ask before we do, Meta, what kind of straight jobs did you have before you started playing basketball professionally?
Well, I packed bags one time.
Packed bags?
I think I made like 50 cents a couple times, or a dollar.
A couple of times.
Yeah. I did that, and then I remember not doing that too long. And then I was just playing basketball the whole time.
Did you work for Circuit City at one point?
No, when I made it.
We need to take a break and talk about that, because you were on the Bulls.
Yeah.
When you applied for a job at Circuit City.
Yeah. That's when I was a professional.
Meta World Peace is here. The name of the book is No Malice, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Foo Fighters fans. When you hear any song by that man, be caller 20 here at K-Rock and win a pair of tickets to the Cal Jam 18 at the Glen Helen Regional Park on October 6th. You see the Foos and all the rest. Details at K-Rock.com. Our panda friend, Meta World Peace, in studio with us right now here on the Kevin Devine Show. He is a best-selling author right now. How's it feel to have the book out, Meta?
It's great to have the book out. I don't know about best-selling. I hope it is, but no, it's great. it was hard work because they had you on a schedule and you had to talk, you know, and work with the book company Triumph and Ryan Dempsey. You had to do it for so long, like 2 hours sometimes. And sometimes I say, oh, I got 5 minutes today. I don't have that much time. And and then the promotions, obviously, you got to be in the cities and in studio. That was tough because I'm used to, like, you know, my career's sort of over.
I mean, sort of.
I'm like, so I didn't officially say, hey, Manuel Pizzo is retired. I didn't say that yet. But then I'm used to waking up in the morning, taking my kids to school, and just being home, you know.
Yeah, and that's being like, on your own schedule, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the book, you're not on your own schedule.
What was it like just jogging all of those memories? Because this has been a long career. A lot has happened.
Yeah.
All different cities that you're playing. It must have been like, oh, that's right, that happened.
Well, it's funny because, like, when they first asked me to do the book, I said, just go on Google. Like, they can find out everything. And just piece it together, right? And then
just do it for me.
And then, but then going back and talking about everything, and then it reminded me of some of my old therapy sessions when I was talking to my psychologist, and we would go back to when I was 6 years old and talk about things.
Wow.
So I can heal wounds. And then then Ryan Dempsey was talking to my parents to get some insight, and then I remember doing that with my therapist.
Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting.
I remember after you won the championship with the Lakers, you thanked your psychiatrist?
It was psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It was weird.
It was weird, but I thought it was amazing because you're one of the few people in the NBA who's willing to say, hey, I'm at times having mental issues and I need to straighten stuff out. And it was strange, but it was really refreshing.
Yeah. I'm glad I did it. And it was a psychologist. She called
psychologist,
me.
Psychologist, okay.
No, but I said psychiatrist because I didn't know the difference at that time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You know? I didn't know.
It must have made you feel good then when that Kevin Love story came out a year and a half ago or something like that to continue to raise awareness of mental health, no matter what your profession.
It's really good. It's an easy way to give a kid who can't afford a session. I mean, you can just listen to Kevin Love and maybe you might feel better because sessions are expensive sometimes.
Sure. Sure. Wasn't there a free one that you went to in your neighborhood when you were a kid?
Yes, yes. My mom just sent me the picture too of my first therapist.
And it was just a person in an apartment that was giving free therapy?
They what they did was the neighborhood or the government, they made the second floor, like two apartments, into like a community center where you can go receive help. It was amazing. Amazing service. They don't do those type of things no more. But it was really good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You played for a bunch of teams. During the play for what team were you the happiest, Meta? When you look back on it, when were you the happiest playing for which team?
Lakers.
I was never happy.
What?
I was always mad. And when I got to the Lakers, I was older.
Right.
But I still had that chip. And then by the time I got to the Lakers, I would always reflect.
You were always mad.
I played really, really mad. You know, and it was, I don't know, I went into every arena hating the opponent, hating every fan. I built up so much hate when I would play. Even my friends, like Elton Brand, Lamar Odom, you know, I love those guys, but I would never even talk to them on the court half of the time.
Is that right?
Yeah, because like I felt like I'm not supposed to be friends with anyone, you know.
Do you think it helped you play better defense?
Nah, I feel like if you just put all your focus in the game, it's not about being mad or being happy, it's about the game. You know, and whatever happens, then happens. But I was always thinking about other things until later in my career. But it was always about, like, the confrontation. It was never about the game. And I still had a pretty good career, but I would have did things different.
Speaking of the confrontation, we have to talk about 2004, of course.
Absolutely.
And you went into the stands. That was a wild, crazy time, too. And there was a giant brawl, and you got suspended for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And lost how much money?
I mean, that season I lost like maybe $6-7 million, and then that's not counting the all endorsements that I lost, and it's not counting my future. It wasn't counting like the future contracts that I would have got. A lot of teams stayed away from me, you know, and things like that. And, you know, so Max, it was a lot of money lost.
So that happened, and you said who called you? You were telling us off the air that
The Pacers first, Mr. Donnie Walsh and Reggie Miller, my teammates, but then the Michael Jordan, like...
Michael Jordan.
He called me, and that was a...
What did he say?
I got two calls from Michael Jordan.
What did he say after that?
He was just like, you know, you're going to be all right. You know, I'm going to speak to Stern and see if you can work it out. But then the next morning, I think I wasn't quiet. You know, I went on and started promoting the rap album. I was on NBC. So maybe that didn't help out, but Michael Jordan called. He was like, hey, we're going to see if we can work something out and see if we can get you back. But, you know, so yeah.
That's really cool that he did that.
It was.
It is.
It was really good.
Did you think that, the penalties against you, Meadow, were unfair or appropriate?
It was definitely unfair because I didn't start, you know. I could see if I went into the stands, like some fans said, hey, you suck. And I said, all right, I suck. I'm going to come in here. I'll show you how much I suck. You know? But
did that stuff happen? Do people shout that at you everywhere you go?
Sometimes. Yeah. When you play, but sometimes.
But it's somebody fun. Threw a glass of Diet Coke at you or something?
Yeah, it was, you know, he threw something in my face. I was not having it. I would never, even to this day, like if somebody was to throw something in my face, I'm going to, you know, we're fighting right away.
Yeah,
I'm not going to let anybody hit me with a cup in my face. That's, you know.
Do you feel that that high-profile incident unfairly tagged you as something that you're not, as a you know, unstable or violent player?
It didn't tag me as something I wasn't. That incident, even the nicest person in the world probably would have backhand smacked somebody. You ever see that office worker in a suit and then they get mad? You know, I think anybody, even probably Mahandi Gandhi,
Mahatma Gandhi
would have been like, okay, enough is enough. You know,
we don't have much time with you, unfortunately, but I did want to squeeze in this question because it's fascinating to me. When you were playing for the Bulls, you applied for a job at a Circuit City.
Yeah.
And they knew you were a member of the Bulls.
Yeah.
Why?
Discount?
I went for the discount. I'm not going to lie.
Why would you apply for a job when you're an NBA player?
I was doing too much when I was 19. I mean, you make all this money. You don't have to listen to your parents. And I was just out and doing too much, partying, drinking. You know,
but how did that lead you to apply to Circuit City?
Because I needed to do something with my time.
Oh, I see.
You know, I had too much time on my hand. You get out of practice and it's like, okay, well, I can go to the mall. I can go downtown.
Were you serious about working there?
Yeah, I did. I applied, filled out the form. I was there for a day. But then, you know, you got practice. So it didn't last long. But, yeah, I did. I
mean, you worked there for one day while
I worked there maybe a day and a half. Maybe a day and a half. I got all my papers and stuff. I was
who's
there.
Who's your favorite team to watch now? Very appropriate question.
The Lakers.
Well, but how about now? How about of the teams that are playing now, who do you like to watch?
You mean in the playoffs?
I like the Boston team. I feel bad I haven't watched them, and I do like basketball. I just haven't been watching. But the Warriors – they're my favorite, but it's like you know they're going to win. Yeah. I don't need to watch this movie again. It's not like, you know, like Game of Thrones you were talking about earlier. It's not like me, oh, wow, what is Khaleesi going to do? This
right.
is like, okay, Durant's going to get 40. They're going to win the title.
It's all a given. Yeah. Does it seem sort of unfair like the deck is stacked against the rest of the NBA?
It's not unfair. I don't think it's unfair. It's making everybody better. The talent is getting so much better. So I think it's making everybody better. I remember when I was looking at Shaq and Kobe from the East, and it pushed me. And, you know, that was unfair, those two. Yeah.
Do you miss playing ball?
I still play.
Do you?
People ask me that all the time. They say, do you miss playing professional? I have my own platform. It's a sports and education platform, and I still generate revenue playing basketball. Not as much as I did. Mm-hmm. I'm still like a professional player because if you get paid for doing something,
sure.
That's professional, right?
Yeah, true.
So I still play on my own time.
You had such a big smile on your face just now when you said you still play.
Yeah, I love the game, man. I love the game. I miss the grind in the summertime and working for something. That's what I miss most. I don't care about the games.
Mm-hmm.
I miss like the work it took to be the best.
That's crazy.
What I miss.
You miss the work that it took to be the best.
I miss going into the gym and just, whether it's Equinox or Lifetime Fitness or the beach, and just going crazy just to get in shape for the season, you know? I miss the hard work. I miss the hustle and diving on the floor. You know, I miss all that.
I feel like you don't hear a lot of players today say they miss the hard work.
The work aspect.
Well, the dude's a champion, you guys.
Yeah. And now I'm just like
that's
eating.
How you get there.
And now I'm just eating like burgers sometimes. And like I have nothing to work for sometimes.
But Meta, you also said earlier you haven't officially retired.
I have not officially retired because the reason I didn't officially retire because I didn't want people to think I stopped playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I still love to play.
If a team came today and said they wanted you to play, you would?
If a team came now.
Mm-hmm.
Or June, yes. But I mean, my last 2 years, you know, with the Lakers, it was like August, September. And I did it because it's the Lakers and I wanted to play, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great opportunity. But I can't prepare in August or September You know, for it's going to be embarrassing. You know, I need like 3 months or 4 months to preparation.
Okay. Yes. All right, we just put the word out there.
Yeah.
By the way, before you go, we also want to put the word out that Meta wants to be on Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yes. Any role.
Any role.
So anyone listening,
play a dragon, whatever you want.
I love a dragon.
Meta, as Kevin mentioned, the book is super fun and super honest, and it's a fascinating look at your life on and off the court. So thank you for writing it, first of all. It's called No Malice, My Life in Basketball, or How a Kid from Queensbridge Survived the Streets, the Brawls, and Himself to Become an NBA Champion is available in stores or online wherever you get books. Always great to see you, man. Let's not make it so long next time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and thanks for promoting my book.
You bet. Thank you. Congratulations, Camilo Taroma from Long Beach. Just got those tickets to Cal Jam 18, which made the announcement yesterday for. It's Foo Fighters and Garbage and Tenacious D and Iggy Pop and a whole lot of other bands. Tickets go on sale Thursday at 10 a.m.
By the way, that this year the festival includes carnival rides, a water park, a rock and roll museum, and so much more. KROQ.com for all the details. Tickets go on sale, as Kevin mentioned, tomorrow. By the way, Meta World Peace, likable as hell, isn't
nicest
he?
Nicest guy in the world.
Does he seem like the kind of, you know, a lot of people come in here and you go, okay, I'm glad that's over, but he's the kind of guy you like want to go out with for dinner, you know?
Yep.
Super nice dude.
For a Laker, you know.
Oh, how dare you? Yeah.
Dave's just a hater.
Dave's the bad man, and he's here because it's time for a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah, brace yourself up. Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. It's Kevin and Bean's, yo, Internet Roundup.
If you wondered what Donald Glover's This Is America video would look like if the song is replaced by Call Me Maybe, definitely want to check out the roundup this time around.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You want to see a dog interrupting a weatherman on TV, given the forecast?
That's pretty good.
You can check that out. Dave, your favorite is the fisherman who catches two sharks on his line.
Oh, my God. He's catching this little shark, and then they see this giant shark come from behind and just take a bite of half the shark.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's pretty gnarly. And if you like that sort of thing, that's the video for you as
Mother
well.
Mother Nature, man.
I don't like to watch fishing myself.
Kevin, you brought this one up to us a couple of days, and it's well worth having in the roundup for people to see the whole video. Deadpool 2, as you know, is coming out this weekend, and he has a little bit of a feud going on with David Beckham because he's made fun of him in the first movie. But Deadpool shows up at Beckham's door and tries to make everything right.
Tickets for the cup.
I can't wait to not watch Italy play the Netherlands.
I can't stay mad at you.
Healing hugs. Here we go. Oh, God, finally, that feels so good. You smell amazing, like cinnamon and manhood. Let's never let go.
No, 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 we should let go.
To let go of this burden together, just wonderful.
No.
Okay.
What were you apologizing for anyway?
Well, just the bit in Deadpool with the voice.
Doesn't ring a bell.
What did you think I was apologizing for?
I mean, there's a list. Green Lantern, yep. RIPD,
horrible.
Selfless,
terrible.
Blade Trinity,
oof.
Bolt Neck.
Woo! Bolt Neck was a masterpiece!
I'm so sorry. I yelled, I raised my voice, I lost control. Please open up.
Ryan Reynolds' guy, by the way, at one point in his career, it was not going well. Now it couldn't be going any better.
Yeah, no kidding.
Very cool. Here's a fascinating, fascinating video. Will Smith is telling the story of how he became the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Now, we can only play a little portion of this. Short version, he was really, really broke.
I thought this wasn't true at first when I was watching it.
Really?
I didn't realize it was all true. That's fascinating.
He's really broke, and he's at a party, and he gets pitched the idea of doing a TV show where he plays the Fresh Prince, and he is asked to audition on the spot for Quincy Jones and for Brandon Tartikoff from NBC and all these people. And, of course, he doesn't want to do it on the spot. He wants some time to prepare, but listen to how it unfolds and why he makes the decision he does.
I'm not ready to do no audition. And he's like, oh, all right. Well, what you need? Tell me what you need. Just set the meeting for a week and I could do it. He said, yeah, you know, Brandon Tartikoff, the head of NBC, is out there. I'll get him to schedule for next week. And then you know what's going to happen? Something's going to come up and then he's going to have to reschedule. Oh, yeah. So three weeks from now, Q, we can do it 3 weeks from now. I said, yeah, 3 weeks from now be good. Or you could take 10 minutes right now and you can change your life forever. And I was like, f*** it then. Yes, give me 10 minutes.
I said yes, and I let it rip. And I got to the end, and everybody is clapping. Quincy looks at Brandon Tartikoff, the head of NBC. Did you like it? And Brandon said, yeah, yeah, I liked it. Quincy says, no, did you like it? And he's like, yeah, I liked it. He's like, good, you're his lawyer. Draw me up something right now. Damn. Quincy ordering other people's lawyers around. Right? That's his lawyer. Quincy, leave that man alone. And Quincy turned to me and he was like, hey, Will, you got a lawyer? Quincy, I'm broke. If I had a lawyer taking 5%, he'd owe me money right now.
It's a bizarre story.
Yeah.
And that's how the show got on the air. It ran for all those seasons and made Will Smith into a superstar.
Do you think that speech by Quincy is what gave Will Smith that positivity in his life? That just now he just...
Maybe.
Everything is about positivity.
It did seem to be what he was all about, yeah.
Quincy
yeah.
Jones is magic.
Yeah,
he really is. And finally, our friend Jimmy Kimmel, who has the best late-night show in all of television, did an outstanding piece out on the street at Hollywood Boulevard in front of his theater, where in honor of National Teacher Appreciation Week, he had people apologize to their teachers for bad things they'd done. Kevin, I know there's a long list of ways that you tortured teachers when you were growing up.
Let's get an apology from Kevin.
I mean, I really have three or four.
Here's some of the ones that the folks came up with.
My fifth grade teacher, her name was Miss Glasser. I gave her the nickname Gassy Goo, and it stuck with her the whole year.
I apologize to my kindergarten teacher for kicking her every day. Almost every day, I would come in and kick her for no reason.
Just one, Mr. McCrary.
What'd you do?
We stole his car and put it on the roof.
I want to apologize for telling a marijuana joke in first grade.
What was the joke?
Miss Krauss, why don't balloons do drugs? And she said, I don't know, Amy. And I said, because they're afraid they'll get too high and get busted. And, yeah, she didn't like that.
And what do you do now?
I'm the mayor of Manhattan Beach, California.
Are there any teachers you'd like to apologize to?
Yeah, I'd like to apologize to the teacher I stole a checkbook from in high school. Okay, I kicked out of Hawthorne High School. Tried to cash a check and got caught and went to jail. I mean, that was embarrassing, man, in front of all of my friends, man. They see me get locked up, man. That was crazy. I apologize. Forgive me.
You got to see the rest of that video and all the rest. Right now, it's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup at KRock.com or KevinandBean.com.
It's Kevin and Bean's, yo, Internet Roundup.
It is 8:53.
By the way, I know we've had a very busy show, a lot of moving parts, a lot of things going on. I think we have fallen short on promoting the fact that we have highlights from the Lifetime recreation of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's relationship leading up to the wedding.
How was that?
Our royal wedding coverage continues right after the top of the hour, Kevin, with a movie that you are going to be so mad you missed.
Because it's so bad?
Because it's so great. That is all coming up. First, Allie's here with What's Happening.
But honestly, it was horrible.
It's terrible, right?
I will save my remarks for the segment coming up.
I can't wait for that. Hey, you guys like Black Panther?
Love.
How about the fact that it is now on digital and Blu-ray? And if you're callers, let's say 20 through 24 right now, I'm going to give you a copy of Black Panther on Blu-ray. Oh, yeah. 1-800-520-1067. And those five winners are going to get a copy of Black Panther on Blu-ray out now.
And Blu-ray, help me understand here. That's where they record a stream and then they press it onto a piece of plastic?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds fun. Mm-hmm.
And then you put it in a machine and it plays it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't sound like extra steps at all.
You get both, though. You get the digital one. No, you don't. You just get the Blu-ray. Okay. Okay, let's move on.
It's just on Blu-ray.
That's my favorite way to watch.
Mine
something.
Too. Yeah, I love that.
I love
That's
it so much.
How I prefer it, same. Actually, because you can stop it and start it with a button.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. I know it.
Hey, you guys. The executive producer of Late Night with Seth Meyers just tweeted, "It's Dave's show, and we are just borrowing it." David Letterman will be our guest on Late Night with Seth Meyers on Wednesday, May 23rd.
Interesting.
Yes, that will mark his first appearance on NBC's Late Night since exiting as host after 11 seasons in 1993.
That is a great booking.
Has it been that long?
Wow, that's crazy.
Oh, well, that's, I
no,
guess.
No, no,
no. That's NBC.
Yeah.
Okay, then he went to CBS. Yes. I was like, wow, I have lost time. Yeah, that's a great booking. Congratulations on that. We had mentioned that you're going to be talking about Meghan Markle and the big wedding coming up.
Oh, so excited.
And we had discussed when we saw him being measured, Meghan Markle's father, being measured for the tuxedo. Then there were pictures of him at an internet cafe with his computer strangely open to pictures of Meghan and Harry. And we all said, these are so staged. This is so creepy.
It did seem odd.
This is bad. Well, of course, it turns out they were.
He made
a deal to allow a photo agency to take the pictures, and he got paid for them, which ruffled quite a few feathers across the pond, as you can imagine. Now her dad says, I have so much shame. I don't want to even go to the wedding. I caused you such embarrassment. I'm not coming. Even said he had a heart attack.
They told him not to come, and you know it.
I don't know.
They're now terrible people.
They're now saying they had all these plans. They had different things for him to attend. They had a security detail. They had it all planned. Meghan keeps reaching out saying, I really want you to come. It is awful. Like, what a gross thing right before your wedding.
Yeah, it's unnecessary drama the week of your wedding, that's for sure. And who's going to walk her down the aisle if dad says no?
Her mother.
You think so?
I think so,
that's normal, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't know. I didn't know if it was always a male figure. Okay.
Oh, down with the patriarchy.
I didn't know.
Why is it always got to be a man that steps in? I would assume it would be your mom.
Okay.
Who knows? Depends on what the queen picks, you guys.
That's right. Could be some guy named Sully. I don't know why his name would be Sully. Now I'm helping out the bad examples. You guys, this whole John Cena, Nikki Bella thing, they broke up about a month ago.
Right, you were very upset.
I wasn't that upset because it never seemed like they were going to make it. He doesn't want kids. He really didn't even want to get married. There was like a ridiculous 70-something page prenup just when they were dating. So it just seemed weird. And then they were engaged. And then they broke up right before... what was it? Was it WrestleMania?
Doesn't matter.
Really doesn't.
Whatever it was. Whatever event it was.
So here's the thing. He was on Hoda Kotb and Kathy Lee Gifford's show, the sixth, seventh hour of the Today Show yesterday.
Okay.
And he said things like this. I had my heart broken out of nowhere. I still love Nicole. I love her. I want to be with her. I want to make her my wife. I want to be the father of her children. I just want us to work. And people were like, wait, what? This is a complete change.
Hmm.
Then they caught Nikki Bella last night on a red carpet and played the video for her. And she was like, oh, weird. That's strange. Whatever. All of this seems very suspect to me now.
Meaning it was all fake?
Well.
Including the breakup?
The new season of Total Bellas comes out on May 20th.
You'd have to tell
me. And the show promises all sorts of drama between the two. Here's where Conspiracy Alley comes into action.
Okay.
Episode 3. Nikki leans on Bree, Brian, and the Bella family for their unconditional support following her breakup with fiancé John Cena, all while preparing for the Bella twins' big return to the WWE 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw. Well, Monday Night Raw aired in January. They broke up, supposedly, in April. So now it turns out, according to this show, they broke up months before when they said they actually broke up.
Okay.
So the timeline doesn't work.
Okay.
None of it works. I think this is all a huge work for the show, and it's all BS. And quite frankly, my heart can't take it. I think it's BS, and I don't appreciate it, John Cena or Nikki Bella.
I demand an investigation.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just saying, give a call right now if you agree.
We don't need 1-800 calls right now. We don't. No. I mean, it's professional wrestling. It's all
But
fake.
It's also love.
It's all
it's
fake.
Also love.
All of it is fake.
Even the love part?
Yes. The breakup part? How do you know what to trust and what not to trust?
That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
I don't think it is, but okay.
No one knows what your point is.
I don't understand your point.
I'm really upset, okay. Is what I'm saying. birthdays for you. Actor Chaz Palminteri, actor David Krumholtz, and actress Jamie Lynn Sigler, and that's what's happening.
Alice Merton, very impressive at the K-Rock Weenie Roast on Saturday, by the way. Very talented young lady. Hey, stick around in minutes. We got your tickets for Knott's Berry Farm this Saturday. Our own Megan Holliday is going to be broadcasting live from noon to 4. You win those tickets, including early access into the park, and you get to be one of the first to ride their new coaster called Hang Time. That's coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock.
Let's do something else. Let's not do this here.
Oh, no, you're going to love
something
this.
Something else.
No, stand by.
Anything else.
Mm-hmm. Allie, you are a huge Hallmark Channel fan.
I do love it.
Does that mean that Lifetime Network is your mortal foe, or are you cool with them too?
Listen, I will do a little Lifetime every now and then, but my heart does belong to Hallmark. Okay. However, Lifetime, back in the day, oof, the Meredith Baxter Burney, like someone killed her husband, revenge type shows, love it.
You might as well be speaking a foreign language for me.
I will say this as well. Lifetime's been coming up with some good stuff lately. I think I might be Team Lifetime just under Hallmark. Thanks for asking.
Well,
did you expect that complete of an answer, B?
I did not, but I know that this is an area which he has very strong opinions.
Yes.
There wasn't much murder in A Royal Romance, the Harry and Meghan story that aired on Sunday night. But I will tell you, I'm so glad I watched it. I sat down, as we have so many times in the past, Kevin, where I go, well, this is just something I got to slog through for the show. I found it very entertaining.
We all draw the short straw sometimes, and you go, all right, well, I'll sit through it. You loved it for real?
I won't say I loved it. I will say there's some points. I will say there's some things about their relationship and the struggles that they have faced to get to where they are this weekend that are very intriguing to me.
But entertaining because it was so campy and ridiculous?
Well,
or?
Let's let you decide. Let you decide. All right, so the movie opens
Hold,
with...
please.
Ladies and gents, it's time for a royal wedding update, where we give you useless information that nobody should give a f*** about, but inexplicably do. It's Kevin and Bean's Royal Wedding Update 2018.
All right. I feel like we could add a little more beep to that F word, by the way. We see a few perfunctory scenes of Harry and Meghan growing up in their respective countries, but they pretty quickly get to them as grown-ups just before they meet. And Harry is in another one of his wild, crazy parties, spraying champagne all over his mates. And naturally, the photographers get pictures
it's not
of
champagne.
It. And his father, Prince Charles, who's the first voice you'll hear on the tape, is very upset once again that his young son has embarrassed him.
I'd hoped after the Nazi uniform and stripping down and showing off the family jewels in Las Vegas, we were past all this.
Well, what am I supposed to do? Never have fun?
All three of our press offices had to pull strings to get this taken down before the Red Tops ran with it. Thank you for that, Robert.
Of course, Your Highness.
Thank God your grandmother didn't see. It would have killed her.
There's a lot of that in this
God,
movie, by the way.
I hate everyone in that scene. Wow, I hate this.
Because
you don't want to.
Half an hour.
God, I hate this.
You don't want to upset Granny. Come on.
Is that it?
Nope.
What?
So, meanwhile, Meghan Markle has become her own woman. She's very impressive, by the way, in real life. And she is a hit, an actress on the TV show Suits. And she has a friend who wants to set her up on a blind date in London. They have a trip to London coming up. And her friend suggests this blind date to Meghan.
I think you might get on well with a friend of mine. Too soon for a blind date?
A little.
Of course. I understand.
But then again, as I was just painfully reminded, I'm not getting any younger.
Well, neither is this one, but he's handsome, rich, well-connected, and unlike his older brother, he still has his hair.
I don't care about any of that. Just tell me one thing. Is he nice?
Okay, now, I don't know a lot about blind dates.
Please. Her question was, does he have a job?
Number one. Thank you, Kevin.
That is a lie.
Amen.
They said he was rich and well-connected, and she said, I don't care about all of that. Because who does,
who
right?
Who cares about that?
Is he nice? So the blind date is set up, and neither of them are expecting anything to come of it. But, of course, you know, we know where it leads to a wedding this Saturday. And here is a clip of their first meeting in a restaurant that the prince has closed specifically so he can meet Meghan alone.
Hey, Meghan.
Hello. Yeah, I'm Harry. You look...
Thank you. I'm going to actually need you to hold off on the compliments until you have apologized for being 40 minutes late.
Was I? Sorry, I didn't realize.
Really? Can I just show you how this works? You see here this shorthand? That one is the hours, and the long one is the minutes.
Hmm. Now, do we think that's what happened?
She's teaching him how to tell time.
Yeah, she's dressing him down in the first 30 seconds of meeting him because he's late for his date.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
You think that's a little poetic license?
That
show?
Is
absurd.
I think a lot.
There's no actual record. There's no transcript of what the conversation was like on that first date. So I'm not sure if that really happened. But
What? We're not done?
Prince Harry did close the restaurant down, and they continue the early moments of their first date. And this, of course, includes the best line of the whole show.
Just best that we're not seen together publicly for your sake.
Of course, I know. I mean, it would really hurt my street cred to be seen with a guy who can't tell time.
She really can't let that go.
I mean, I am kind of a well-known actress, after all. What is it you do?
Oh. I'm kind of the Prince of England.
Now, she knew who he was before she met, right?
I don't believe that he would ever be set up on a blind date without knowing who it was.
Absolutely.
And that she didn't have any idea who it was. There's no way that's true.
Mm-mm.
Because we do live in the 21st century where you can pretty much Google anybody, right?
That's ridiculous. And I believe I had read that they were set up because she had done a ton of charity work. He was doing that as well, kind of following in Diana's footsteps.
And what do you do?
Come on. This is all BS.
Well, it turns out they do hit it off. They spend the entire night together talking.
Spoiler alert.
They are smitten with one another, but because of their busy schedules, they can't get together for a couple of months. But when they do, the second date, he takes her to Botswana.
You know what I'm saying?
No word on whether that happened or not.
So they go to
Botswana on their second date, and it looks exactly like an episode of The Bachelor. I swear to God, as you watch them like walking around with the giraffes and everything like that. And this strains credibility for me. This is a conversation. Allie, I'm going to need you and Chip in particular. I'm going to need your opinion on if this is the appropriate response for a woman to have to the story that she is being told by Prince Harry. He's reflecting back to one of the first times he came to Botswana. It was shortly after his mother's death, and something unusual happened.
It was the first time we came here, and I was walking alone, and I saw this lion. It's just a few feet away from me, and it turned around and stared at me, and it was right after the funeral, you know? I guess I thought, I don't know.
You thought it was her.
That's insane, right?
No, I don't think so. I think it's beautiful.
Okay, so if the guy you're dating says, I saw a lion here one time that I'm pretty convinced was my mom's ghost.
Wait, you don't want my opinion?
Allie, what's the appropriate reaction to that? Do you play along and pretend that that's sweet, or do you accept the fact that you're now dating a mentally ill person?
Have you met me? I would eat that ass up.
Really?
Yes.
That's not a deal breaker for you?
No,
it's so dumb.
It is so beautiful because he really thought the spirit of his mother was in front of him, and let him believe it, and let me hug him.
Okay, Chip.
Check, please.
I'll tell you what that lion was the spirit of Princess Diana. I'll tell you that. We're talking about the Lifetime movie, The Royal Romance, Harry and Meghan, in celebration of the wedding week. All right, so they're getting closer and closer, and they're opening up to each other, and this is one of the kind of the very heartfelt parts of the movie. Meghan, by the way, as you know, is biracial. And she has, of course, now she's getting a lot of backlash from people because of her celebrity and because of marrying into the royal family. But her whole life, she and her family have been subjected to just awful things because they're a biracial family. And they're really bearing their souls here, Meghan and Harry are. And she's telling a terrible story about some of the real abuse that her mother had received, being called the N-word in Hollywood and just all sorts of just ugly, ugly stuff that was really impactful for Meghan growing up because she's, you know, black in addition to being white. So it's been very hard for her. So Harry listens very patiently. But he's had his own struggles, Kevin. Maybe he hasn't had to fight through racism.
Has he?
But Harry has also had a very, very tough road to hoe.
Anyway, I'm sorry if I'm getting too serious for you.
No. You want to talk serious? Try being a ginger in England.
A ginger?
A redhead.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay.
So his burden, his curse has been... Look, I hear what you're saying about you and your family and the racism. But I have red hair, and you don't know what that's like.
All right, that's him making a joke, right?
No,
it has to be.
It has to be him making a joke, because that would be a joke you would make in that situation.
You'd be like, oh,
yours
you had
terrible.
It tough?
Right.
I was a redhead.
Imagine
Come
that.
On.
Let's see if he's making a joke.
Why are the Harry Potter films so unrealistic?
Why?
Because a ginger kid has two friends. What did the ginger make for dinner?
What?
Reservations for one.
Aww.
Okay, last one. What do gingers look forward to later in life?
I don't know what.
Gray hair, obviously.
She's giving a lot of courtesy laughs, you guys.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
He was trying to make her laugh. That was it.
Yeah, boy, you're cutting Harry a lot of slack,
I
really.
I got to tell you. All the slack.
Whatever he's doing is working. All right, one more clip. Spoiler alert, they do end up together, but at one point, there's too much pressure. The paparazzi are driving everybody crazy, what she can and can't do because of the association with the family and everything. So eventually, she breaks up with Prince Harry at one point before they lived happily ever after, and she screams at him about the royal bubble that he's living in, and I thought this was a pretty good scene.
My half-siblings who have never quite gotten over the feeling that my dad abandoned them are now able to crow very publicly that daddy's little princess is just an ambitious, spoiled brat when everything that I have done was to abide by the needs of your family, a family who have always gotten everything they wanted, who have never known a day without servants or cake or whatever they bloody well fancy at the flick of a bejeweled wrist.
There's a lot of talking.
Boom!
There's a lot of. She did drop the mic on that.
Boom!
I got to tell you, not only was this actress outstanding, she looks so much like Meghan Markle. It was insane how similar they are. But I'm Team Meghan now. I was rooting for my boy Harry, but I feel like I'm Team Meghan now on this one.
I just don't care at all.
It's still in reruns, Kevin. You can still have a chance to watch the whole 2-hour and 20-minute movie airing all this week on the Lifetime channel if you want. And the wedding is Saturday.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
That was Kevin and Bean's Royal Wedding Update 2018. You.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:45.
Allie, will you permit me to steal 41 seconds of your What's Happening time for something I think you'll really enjoy?
41 seconds?
41 seconds.
Pretty specific.
That was my limit, yes.
Allie, as you know, you are you're a gift.
Can I say no?
Can you go back and reconsider?
Kevin, as you know, you are a present.
Oh, no.
But together, you guys.
Oh, no.
You're a treasure.
No.
Please enjoy.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is.
But also, you guys are posting videos like, oh, we're rehearsing for the weenie roast. And we're like,
It must be, infallible word of God.
You guys are Blink-182.
Or, and terrorists.
What are you doing? Like, but then it occurred to us.
Situations or UFOs.
Oh, I guess bands really rehearse for different festivals and different...
It's unidentified.
...situations, which we just thought, okay, you do...
It must be alien. You go, no.
The same old thing every time.
It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
Wow.
Yay!
Wow.
Wow.
DJ Omar Khan.
I mean, wow. Right? Am wow. I right?
Made a lot of sense, those two.
Wow, those two are crazy.
I am honored to be on your team, guys. 9:45 now, Tuesday morning. Let's find out what's happening.
Wow, Omar.
That happened.
DJ Omar Khan.
That's real good. It's real good stuff. Hey, if you see an article that says Dave Grohl is recording a 25-minute instrumental track all by himself, you're clicking on that, right?
I'm in.
Probably, yes.
What are you doing? So apparently, Dave Grohl said that he's planning to run between a varied selection of instruments before recording of his efforts is later spliced together to create the 25-minute track. He's going to be in the studio with what he says are several drum kits, a load of guitars, bass, rhythm, and the lead. He's going to hit play. Clock starts ticking.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to record the first drum part. Then he's going to run to the next drum set and play another drum part that will then record over the first. Then he's going to do the same with all the guitars.
Is he making a song?
One song.
Oh.
So he is explaining that his methods to create the final project all going to be filmed. Multiple cameras. So by the end of it, you're going to see and hear one song being played for 25 minutes.
What's the matter with you? Are you crazy or something?
Is he just... What's going on with him? Just bored?
I mean, it sounds like somebody who might be bored comes up with like a challenge for himself.
Right. I'm going to watch the heck out of it. For sure.
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
Agreed. Agreed. So we can all look forward to that.
All right.
We'll see.
There aren't a lot of great 25-minute songs, I will tell you.
No.
But this doesn't sound like a 25-minute song. It sounds like a 25-minute recording process for a...
For a jam, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's the only one jamming. That's
right.
What
right, but
the
he's
difference.
Playing over himself and over himself, so the end product is not a 25-minute song. It's watching a 4-minute song be built in 25 minutes. No? Anyone? Because you said he lays down drums, then he plays the second set of drums over the first set. So it's not going to just be a continuously long song.
I think it is. I think it's going to end up being a 25-minute song. I think he's going to lay down drums and then go put another drum part on. And then while those are still playing, he'll then pick up a guitar and start playing the guitar on it. And I think the whole thing is going to end up being a song, I think.
Right, but then the finished song won't be the 25 minutes. That'll be the making of.
But after you left cable, you were syndicated.
I'm just trying to understand this, man.
It's going to be a 25-minute track. It's a 25-minute
song. It's a 25-minute video of him making a song.
No.
I don't think so, Kevin. I don't think that's what's happening here.
Well,
I think
let me tell you why.
25-minute song.
Okay, please. Because she said that he's going to play a set of drums, and then he's going to play another set of drums over the first set. Mm-hmm. So it's not a continuation. It's not where he plays 3.5-4 minutes and then plays another 3.5-4 minutes.
No, they're splicing it all together to make a 25-minute song. I mean.
All right, back to you. I don't know.
We're trying to get Mr. Grohl on ahead of the on sale for CalJab. We'll certainly ask him if we do, for clarification.
Absolutely. Oof. Here's the thing. If you go on the show Survivor and you sign an NDA with a possible $5 million penalty, don't do anything that goes against that NDA, right?
That would make sense.
So apparently they stopped filming season 37 on Wednesday. That's when they wrapped. And upon arriving back home, the contestants were emailed a reminder, don't spoil anything with social media activity. Stuff as simple as don't follow each other on social media and obviously don't pose together.
Right.
Well, turns out a guy named Alec Merlino and a girl named Kara Kay did just that on Sunday, captioning their pic with a not-so-subtle F it. Turns out those two are on the show. They were warned, don't post anything together. They were on the show, hit it off in Fiji, and just couldn't wait to post themselves together. And now, okay, not good.
Not a great idea.
Obviously, I don't think it's spoiling anything like who won or anything like that, but it does spoil A, who's on the show, because we don't know anyone yet, and B, that maybe a little love connection was made.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants that.
So the finished song's going to be 25 minutes?
Yes. Yes. The track will be 25 minutes.
All right.
If we don't end this, what's happening with your combined moment with again, by the way? I'm going to be very disappointed.
I mean, feel free.
Not
hit
right
it,
now?
Steve.
Okay. It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is.
But also, you guys are posting videos like, oh, we're rehearsing for the weenie roast. And we're like,
It must be, you know, infallible word of God.
You guys are Blink 182.
Or, you know, and terrorists.
What are you doing? Like, but then it occurred to us.
You know, situations or UFOs.
Oh, I guess bands really rehearse for different festivals and different...
It's unidentified.
...situations, which we just thought, okay, you do...
It must be alien. You go, no.
The same old thing every time.
It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
Hall of Fame!
Those two people make sense.
Wow.
Here's all I know. I know that at the Weenie Roast, Ali said, do you want me to come do the Blink 182 interview with you?
By the way, this was at 4 p.m., I said, because I'm going to have some cocktails.
Right. I'm either going to have some cocktails or do the interview with you. It was not till like 8:30.
8:30.
And I said, do both. And she said, really? And I was like, absolutely, do both.
And then we did an onstage around 6-ish, and I said, Kevin, I'm already a little buzzed. I don't think I'm going to do the Blink 182.
Right.
And your response was?
Yes, you are.
Keep drinking.
Keep drinking and show up. And it was magical.
And listen, Kevin is my superior, and he told me what to do, and I didn't want to get fired.
Right, sure.
Because, I mean, it happens here. And so I just drank, and that was the result.
That was pretty sweet.
Some birthdays for you. Chaz Palminteri, David Krumholtz, and Jamie Lynn Sigler, and that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. Andrew, drive home today. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got Bill Nye, the science guy.
Yes.
What?
In studio, we've got RJ Bell talking about the legalized gambling. We've got your Cal Jam tickets, and we've got your advanced screening tickets for Solo, A Star Wars Story as well tomorrow morning.